Good afternoon. Good to see everybody out. I know everybody's excited as we continue to build for the BBS 2016. I know all the kids are excited as well as I am. You know, these song service nights, I always enjoy them. I always think they're uplifting. But tonight, I think most of us would say it's been a little extra special to see all the kids up front, to see the youngsters singing and participating in worship to our Lord. It's really a special time, and it's a wonderful thing to see. That's probably one of the reasons why I so much look forward to VBS every year. So we look forward to getting it started tomorrow. But first, we have to get through this, so hopefully we can. As Josh has mentioned a few times, all the songs tonight, they've been about Jesus. Every song we've sung has been about Jesus and different aspects of His life. And our song... The song that we're going to look at tonight, our hymn study tonight, is going to also be about Jesus. It's song number 100 in our supplements. Lamb of God is the title of the song. Now this song, it was written by Miss Twyla Paris. And as you can see by Mrs. Paris's picture, this song was written within our lifetimes. Most of the songs that we look at and study about were written many, many long years ago. But this song was actually written in 1985. Mrs. Paris, she actually began writing songs at the age of 7 when she first released her first album. And she continues to write songs, perform songs, and produce songs even till today. She's pretty famous, and we actually have several of her songs in our songbooks that we sing. Now the words to this song, they aren't particularly hard. They're pretty straightforward. And there's no special meanings behind them. And as far as I know, there's no special story, no special backstory, no special reason why Miss Paris wrote this song. So tonight, our hymn study is going to be done just a little bit differently than usually. I'm not going to actually look at our song tonight, but I'm going to look at the verse that Mrs. Paris chose to accompany her song. The verse that inspired her song. The verse that she has is in John 1, verse 29. It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." John was busy doing something. He looks up and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." To me, when I read that verse, it seemed just a little odd to me. I know if I was doing something and look up and you see Jesus coming toward you, what's the first thing you're going to think about? What's the first thing that you might call him? It wouldn't have been Lamb of God for me. Off the top of my head, I thought maybe the Holy One, the Master, the Judge, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Light of the World. Maybe the Son of God, our High Priest, our King, our Savior. Any of these things, and maybe many more, we probably would have called Jesus. But in our passage, John looks up and says, "The Lamb, simply the Lamb." Why is this? He actually goes on twice in this chapter to call Jesus the Lamb. And not only he, but Peter and Paul also call Jesus the Lamb. Multiple times throughout all the scriptures, Jesus is referred to as a Lamb. But why? When I hear the word Lamb, when you hear the word Lamb, what do you think about? I think about a Lamb. Simple as that. No special meaning to me when I hear the Lamb. So why is our Lord and our Savior called a Lamb? You know, our VBS, as we've said many times, it's entitled The Lamb of God. The song, our hymn study tonight, entitled The Lamb of God. So why are all these things, what's the big deal about a lamb? So before we start our VBS this week, before we even sing our song tonight, I want to look at this idea of the Lamb of God, and try to better understand it. You know, Josh, this morning, he told us who the Lamb was. It's Jesus Christ. He told us what the Lamb did, what he had to endure, and what sacrifice he made for each of us. And we'll learn more about that this entire week, all the sacrifices that Jesus made for each of us. But tonight, just really quick, I want to look at the question, why a lamb? Why a lamb? You know, this idea of a sacrificial lamb, it shows up many times in the scriptures. And it actually shows up in the beginning of the Bible, in the times of Abraham. But this afternoon, I want to jump forward just a little bit in history. And tonight, I want to start in Egypt at the feet of Pharaoh. Here we see Moses and his brother Aaron as they go before Pharaoh one more time. And do you kids, do you remember the story? Do you remember what God through Moses is asking Pharaoh or telling Pharaoh? He's telling Pharaoh to let my people go. However, we know Pharaoh's answers. Pharaoh has been refusing to let the people of Israel go. So the Lord, what's he been doing? He's been sending plagues to Egypt and the people. And again, I know you kids can remember the plagues. I asked mine and they rattled off many of them. But we remember the plagues of Egypt. How they turned the water to blood. How the frogs, God sent the frogs to overrun the land. And then he sent flies and lice and locusts all to overrun the land. There were many diseases. He sent diseases for the animals. He sent the hailstorm. And then, the ninth plague, he sent the darkness to overtake the land of Egypt. So to this point, when we saw Moses at the feet of Pharaoh, nine plagues had came, and still the Pharaoh refused to let the people of Israel go. So now let's pick up in Exodus chapter 11. It says, "Thus says the Lord," this is Moses speaking to the Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I'll go out into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl." We keep on reading, it says, "There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever be again." Moses here is trying to warn the Pharaoh of how severe this last plague will be. They've done this nine times before. But this time, there's something different. Something else that Moses has been instructed to do. This time, Moses has to tell the Hebrews, God's people, something to do. We'll turn to chapter 12. It says, Moses, or God speaking to Moses, he says, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to his father's house." What kind of lamb? Does it matter? It mattered. He said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." It had to be a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb, one of the most valuable lambs. Then he says, "You shall keep it till the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses." Now Moses, he proceeds and goes on and tells the children of Israel other things to do with the lamb, what they should do and how they should eat it and dispose of it, and even to the details of what they should wear while doing this. But we want to pay for tonight special attention to the end of verse 6 and start of verse 7. There in verse 6, he says they should take the lamb and they should kill their lamb at twilight. And after killing the lamb, the next thing Moses tells them to do is to take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel above the door. So each house in Egypt, each house of the Hebrews, they had to kill their lamb and they had to spread blood above their doors. They had to put blood down the doorpost and then across the top of the doors. Moses then goes on to tell them why it was they were doing this. There in verse 23 it says, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer, or the angel of death, to enter the house to strike you." So what was it that did not allow the angel of death to come in and strike the Hebrews? It was the blood of the lamb. When the Lord saw the blood on the door, what happened? When the Lord saw the blood on the door, he passed over that house. He went on and moved throughout the land of Egypt. It was the lamb's blood, that had saved the Hebrews. You can think of it this way also. Over the entire land of Egypt, both Hebrew and Egyptian houses, in every single house, something had to die that night. It was either the firstborn or a lamb. One way or the other, something died that night. So if you were a Hebrew, how valuable would that lamb now be to you? How precious would that lamb have been? To us, it may not have meaning, but to the Hebrews back then, this lamb saved you and your family. It was had great meaning. Not only this, but saving the family's life, but it also signaled the start of many new beginnings. It signaled the start of the Exodus, the leaving of Egypt, the nation of Israel's march toward the promised land. This would not be something that would be soon forgotten by the Hebrews. They're also told they had to remember this day. It says, "This day shall be for you a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever." You shall keep it as a feast. Absolutely, the people that John was speaking to, the people that would have heard this, what John said, called Jesus the Lamb, would have recognized the value of the Lamb. Not only did the people back then institute the Passover, but the Jews throughout their entire history of their nation has kept the Passover. It's one of the most important holidays that they have. They began, once they entered the land of Canaan, the Hebrews also practiced, they sacrificed lambs twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening to cover their sins. The children of Israel were always to remember this, and they were certainly that they would have remembered it, and they would still know the value that a lamb had. The people that John would have overheard John, they would have understood the value, the meaning, and the significance of the word lamb, the Lamb of God. The lamb, it saved their people. It saved their people from death. It set them free from the bondage of Pharaoh. And it set them on a path to the promised land. So, as we prepare to sing this song in just a second, the Lamb of God, we need to, and as we enter into our VBS this week, hopefully we now understand a little bit more of the value of a lamb, the value that a lamb had. But we also need to realize that the lamb's just not valuable to people of old. The lamb is still valuable to us today. Still has the blood of the lamb. It's still working for us today. In 1 Peter 1 and 18, "Knowing that you are not redeemed, you're not bought back with perishable things like silver or gold, but we were bought with precious blood, as of the Lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Jesus, the Lamb of God, He can save us from spiritual death. He can set us free from the bondage of our sins, and He can give us a home in heaven, but only if we're covered by His blood. As I close tonight, I'd want to go back just for a quick second to that evening in Egypt. To that afternoon in Egypt, a few hours before the 10th plague passed over the land. Is it possible there that there were those in the congregation of the Hebrews that heard the instructions of Moses? Those that heard what they should do to be protected? But some of them thought it was foolish. Foolish to wipe blood around their doors, their house. Or perhaps some, they planned to do it, but they got busy with other things and never got around to it. Maybe some waited for a more convenient time, a better time to do it. Or maybe even some heard what they needed to do, and they just wasn't willing to make the sacrifice. Whatever the reason, whatever the excuse, those who were not covered by the blood, they died that night. God had given the people a time to prepare, and when the angel of death came, there was no second chances given. You were either covered by the blood, or you were not. So tonight, I ask the question here. Are you covered by the blood? Have you been covered by the blood in the waters of baptism? Have you trusted in the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ? If you're not yet a Christian, we urge you to consider your soul's condition while you still have time. And if you are a Christian, perhaps you've fallen back into the world. You too have this time to make things right. You too need the blood of the Lamb. So whatever the case, if you have a need tonight, I ask you to behold the Lamb of God as we come and as we stand.